Good evening. Welcome to our final installment in the 2013 storytelling episodes. So far, we've explored fiction in both long and short forms, and we've listened to some examples of spooky verse, both poetry and music. Tonight, I wanted to talk about a different version of storytelling, one uniquely suited to the podcast medium. In the days before television, the chief device of entertainment value in the American home was the radio, where families might gather to listen to music or news, but also to hear serialized episodes of adventure tales, or even radio plays of various kinds, not too dissimilar from podcasts. One of the most famous and spookiest radio dramas was a production on October 30th, 1938 of War of the Worlds. The broadcast, adapted from the novel by H.G. Wells and performed by Orson Welles and his Mercury Theatre Company, notoriously created something of a panic when many listeners who had failed to hear the opening credits of the show, which announced it as a fiction, believed the news journalism style of the drama and thought Earth was being invaded by Martians. People fled their homes in terror and were not pleased to find out that the entire thing had been, in their eyes, a hoax. Tonight, we're going to revisit that fateful broadcast and see if we can't conjure up an invasion of our own. We'll attempt to give you how the original went down while at the same time updating the script. The Earth is our mother. We must take care of her, pamper her, bring her breakfast in bed sometimes, make her offerings of chocolate and blood, lots of human blood. Welcome to Blackbird Falls. Our town's Halloween preparations are in full swing, Blackbird Falls, and we couldn't be more excited about how things are going. It seems in every street shop window we are seeing piles of pumpkins, grease paint drawings of black cats and coffins, and jars of necrotized body parts bubbling in thick brown liquid. Why, the hands even seem to be waving at us as they bob up and down in their thick glass prisons. It's festive and fun, and everyone's getting into the spirit. Well, everyone except the coven of renegade Jehovah's Witnesses who live on that cooperative farm down by the abandoned mill and bird sanctuary. They seem to think the whole thing smacks of pagan idolatry and twisted dark spells cast over our children under the guise of trick-or-treating and ritual chants. How they get that from pictures of cats and a few severed feet is beyond me, but diversity is one of our town's charms, so to each his, her, or its own, right? Speaking of Halloween, we all know it's the time for good-natured pranks and fun, like covering a beloved teacher's house in toilet paper, or gathering in dark-robed and hooded groups of 13 to surround a neighbor's house and incant ancient Sumerian sacrificial songs until the residents are slowly driven mad. But sometimes people take things too far. For example, someone has, in a clearly light-hearted but misguided effort at Halloween humor, stolen our town's original Book of Shadows from the forbidden section of the town library. Now, how they got into the forbidden section in the first place is a mystery beyond me, since not only is it guarded by a number of particularly gruesome and lethal booby traps, and a bevy of fearsome magical wards, which are known to be even more torturous and fearsome than the booby traps. Everyone remembers the body of that poor college girl they found partly in the town square fountain, partly in the Arby's dumpster, and mostly in the sewer grating outside of Penny's Clown College on the northeast side of town. But also because the forbidden section of the library has no doors, windows, or known points of entry at all. So not only did this merry prankster defy local custom and ordinance, but the very laws of physics and magic themselves. Well played, you jolly jester, you. But listen, now that you've had your fun, let's all agree that it's for the best if you return the book before the curse takes effect. After all, no one wants to see the Eldritch Council emerging from their dark cave on the mountain and visiting fearful wrath upon each and every home until the book is found. That's just not funny, and it's in poor taste when we've all spent so much time working to make this Halloween fun for everyone. In that spirit of fun and frivolity, the Blackbird Falls Community Repertory Ensemble will be putting on a musical performance of Arthur Miller's The Crucible every weekend in October. This lighthearted song and dance romp through our sister city Salem's history of mayhem and hysteria is sure to delight and entertain the whole family, so bring the kids! The first 25 children at each performance will get a free noose as a souvenir. Tickets are $8 in advance by phone, $9 at the door, or free with the use of mind control spells. Now I know you're thinking, Giles, with all the fantastic events going on around town this time of year, how am I supposed to keep track of them all, much less attend anything while performing the necessary sacrifices to hold the darkness at bay until that all-important night of calamity and horror, the 31st of October? Well, listeners, here to help us sort that out is Virginia Dare, head of the Blackbird Falls Tourism Board. Welcome, Virginia.
Thank you, Giles. Citizens of Blackbird Falls, once again, our local radio station has made time for me to bring you the Halloween community calendar. I must emphasize that all events are mandatory unless otherwise noted. The town hall has a beautiful new dunking chair this year. Thank you, Gowdy's Hardware. So don't miss out on our fun, or you will most likely be trying out this lovely addition to our old town landscape. This year, events are as follows. October 1st, all decorations must be up by no later than midnight. A troop of marauding spirits, many without heads, will ride through the town judging Halloween decor and awarding prizes such as bags of gold or the heads of enemies to the worthiest residents. Those deemed unworthy will, of course, be set on fire. October 2nd. The Harvest Parade will be held along Main Street. We've got some great floats this year, particularly from the Shadow People and the Coven of the Murk Riders. Come out for free candy and lots of fun. Attendees are advised not to make eye contact with any of the floats. The Volunteer Fire Department reminds everyone that they will be working on their float right up to parade time and so will be unavailable to put out any fires the night before. October 7th. All decorations must be taken down by noon and put back up again before midnight, in accordance with the whims of the Eldritch Council. October 12th. A herd of cats will likely make their way through the street of our town. Citizens are advised not to touch them, distract them, or in any way acknowledge their presence. October 13th. There is an optional, but suggested, hand-raising in the abandoned cornfield where the town's children have begun gathering every evening at dusk, hooting and chanting and shuffling in an ever-widening circle. We are not sure what the hinge is for, but feel compelled to erect it anyway, so it's probably best to heed that impulse. October 16th. There's a fun run at the dog park. There are men's, women's, children's, dogs, and others' division entries, and winners will receive a trophy and gift card to Old Kate's Ice Cream Parlor and Taxidermy House. All participants will receive a free t-shirt and a curse. Spectators and runners are advised not to approach the dog park directly, but to sort of sneak up upon it, you know? Just kind of make your way in as though you happen to be wandering by and are in no way part of a large group entering the park for any specific purpose. October 21st. There will be a black mass. Location, time, and sacrificial victim to be decided by lottery that morning. October 27th. The hinge will call us. We will answer. Some will not return. October 28th, Police Chief Caleb Golwell will be hosting a benefit to help support your town's local law enforcement. There won't be any dance or gala or event per se, but town's residents are encouraged to enthusiastically shout about how much they love the BFPD and leave brown paper bags of cash on their front doorsteps. The Legion of Imps controlled by police wizards will be collecting the bags and invading homes which remain silent, so really give it all you got. October 30th, join us for a midnight picnic in Town Square. There will be a costume contest and some of those trendy food trucks everyone seems so crazy about. October 31st, well, you know what happens. I must warn you, earnestly and again as I do every year, do not share any information about our Halloween celebrations, indeed about our town, with anyone else. The Blackbird Falls Tourism Board is dedicated to ensuring that no outsiders ever discover our fair hamlet, and we don't want you ruining years of precise Latin incantations designed to cloak us from prying eyes with a few mindless phone calls to relatives. That's it for me. Back to you, Giles.
Thanks, Virginia. And now an update on that silly, but highly dangerous and distressing prank someone has played on our hometown. The Founder's Book of Shadows remains missing, but we have it on good authority, and by that I mean old Grace Sherwood's psychic visions, which she generally induces through a combination of crystal gazing and heavy drinking, that the person who stole the book was, and I'm going to quote her exactly, as she used a small, black-handled dagger to carve her prophecy into the forearm flesh of our station intern Daniel, as is her custom. The tall one, eyes behind the veil, unspeaking, lurching black tree, no face, no words. Each step carves the ground. Arms which reach to grab the young, pages bound in black, clutched in the hands of a wraith. All is lost. All is lost. So it sounds like someone pretty tall is responsible for the childish and comical, but tremendously life-threatening act. Be on the lookout for tall, faceless people. In fact, be on the lookout for tall people with faces as well. Who knows, the book thief could have been wearing a mask, although given the number of face-eating wolves lurking in the woods around our little community, I think that is the less likely scenario. But a tall person is most definitely the culprit here. Come to think of it, given the immature nature of this prank, and I use that term only in its loosest, most horrifyingly inadequate connotation here, and the height indicated by old Grace's booze-fueled visions, I wouldn't be surprised if this heinous incident was perpetrated by the basketball team from Wet Rock Bluffs, the Lampfreymen. They are simply awful as a team, and as a population in general. They are probably just jealous that our own dear Blackbird Falls Blood Ravens so thoroughly trounced them in both games and off-court transfigurations last season, and have done a foolish, menacing, tribulation-inducing thing to air their petty grievances. That's low, Wet Rock Bluffs. Really, really low. And now there will be suffering, and possible internal organ inversion, all because you can't pass a ball to save your meager, pathetic lives. You're just terrible. Blackbird Falls Radio takes a moment to share a word from our sponsor. Are you alone in the dark, right now? Are there candles dripping down to their last flickering nubs in your living room? Does the smell of copper and ice and green creeping jungle press against your sinuses? You are not alone in the room, are you? Even in the dim, almost snuffed light of those last few dying candles, you know you are not alone. The other is watching you. his eyes fixed from the shadowy corner. Between you, something wet, but you can't remember what it is anymore. There is something in your hand, heavy. It turns your knuckles white to hold it. It is sharp. It is wet. It presses against your bare leg, your toes pressing into the warm, damp carpet. The other does not move, but watches, eyes almost smiling at you. Are you going to move? Can you move? Is that you moving your hand? The one with the heavy, wet, sharp thing, raising it again in a familiar yet alien motion. Just before it drops, you remember the last words he said to you. Have it your way. Burger King, have it your way. This has been a message from our sponsor. And now, traffic. Out on the expressway, people are honking horns, rhythmically, like a drum beat. Steady and constant. A heart pounding inside a frail ribcage, threatening to split it open. In those throbbing, pulsing veins of petroleum and asphalt sits one car, your car. You sit in your car, you dream of the heartbeat. Or is it a drum now? Do you hear the drum? Does it call you out of your vehicle into the wide, open, black lanes of the road? Will you abandon the thrumming thrall of metal and glass and smoke, pushing each car forward like army ants until a single soul, you, step from the hollow ant-shell body of your car, walking into the open cornfield, seeing the children turning, turning, turning. The shadow of stones stretches out over the field, but there are no stones, not now. Maybe they were there once, or will be again, but now there are only the drums, beating, keeping time with the children's feet as they move around you in a maddening gyre. Each turn forces your blood to rush a little faster. The expressway, a distant memory now. Only the steady flow of drums and the throbbing in your veins as the children chant, Eco, Eco, Azerak, Eco, Eco, Zomelak, Zadrukozi, Zadruku, Zadrukozi, Guru Mu. This has been Traffic. And now, the weather. All of October will be shrouded in darkness. This has been the weather. Now, sports.
Sweet 16 and bold as love, the danger I've been dreaming of. Sweet 16 and bold as love, the danger I've been dreaming of. Sweet 16 and bold as love, the danger I've been dreaming of. Sweet 16 and bold as love, the danger I've been dreaming of. Sweet sweet 16, and here she comes. I see the candlelight from her window. Well, she just bought her first book of spells, one step further from the wishing wells of childhood. She's a woman grown. I tell you, girls, if I had known, I'd do it all over exactly the same. She walked into my life and I sang, "Witch girl, where have you been? Tell me about the trouble you've been in." Tinkerbell, one step further from the wishing well. But what's a coven gonna say? All I know, when I see her face, she makes every little fairy princess fade away. Here she comes and I say, "Witch girl, where have you been? Tell me about the mischief." Witch girl, of shadows and a lock of hair, she holds me there, she does not care. Book of shadows and a lock of hair, she holds me there, she does not care. Book of shadows and a lock of hair, she holds me there. Witch curse, decides the witch's fate, and she's gonna learn the hard way, and that's alright. She says she likes it hot some nights, but keep a close eye on her witchy ways. She'll surprise us all one day. She'll surprise us all one day. She'll surprise us all one day. Say, witch girl, raising hell to having fun. Witch girl, where have you been? Tell me about the mischief. Book of shadows and a lock of hair, she holds me there, she does not care. Book of shadows and a lock of hair, she holds me there, she does not care. Sweet 16 and bold as love, danger I've been dreaming of. Sweet 16 and bold as love, a witch girl.
Blackbird Falls, we have some very good news to report. The Founder's Book of Shadows has been recovered. Actually, it was brought back by a tall, slender man without a face, wearing a dark suit, who presented it to Mayor Sarah Churchill and said he just needed to look something up. Since he didn't have a mouth, he did not so much say this as forcibly plant it in Mayor Churchill's mind, as well as the minds of all those gathered around her cowering in fear. The process seems to have been quite painful, from what we understand. Mayor Churchill joins us now to describe the book's return.
It's inside me now. He's always there. I can feel him. Watching me.
Watching all of us. He knows everything. He watches everyone. So tall. So very, very, very tall.
Well, that was informative. So yeah, it looks like we've got a new guest for Halloween, Blackbird Falls, and he sounds like quite the charmer. Mayor Churchill is being dragged by her assistants, two black-robed figures with mouths and eyes sewn shut, out of the studio now. She will presumably need to return the book to the forbidden section of the library now, and then make the appropriate blood offerings to appease the Eldritch Council before nightfall. And it's already getting pretty dark, so it makes sense she's kind of in a hurry. Of course, this means that the book thief was not a member of the Wet Rock Bluff's Lamfreymen. Hey, isn't that kind of a sexist name for a team? I mean, in this progressive age, shouldn't it be Lamfrey Persons? Just awful, Wet Rock Bluffs. Just awful. It's a shame we didn't know about this tall, slender visitor prior to kidnapping the team captain of the Lamfreymen and slowly transfiguring him into a pig before feeding him to the face-eating wolves, who promptly ate his face, and most of the rest of him, too. But it's all in the name of good, clean Halloween fun, so no harm, right? And we have a new guest in town. Make sure you keep your eyes open for that slender man, as I'm sure this isn't the last we'll be hearing of him. Up next, we'll have 12 hours of Babylonian death chants, followed by the disquieting sounds of things rising from deep within the earth. Until next time, I leave you, as always, saying, good night, Blackbird Falls. Good night.
Welcome to Blackbird Falls is a loving homage to and parody of Welcome to Night Vale, which is a production of Commonplace Books. You can find out more about this wonderful and weird podcast by visiting their website, commonplacebooks.com. While you're there, check out the Night Vale podcast, learn about H.P. Lovecraft's unused story ideas, and shop the Night Vale store. Music from this episode is by Disparition and can be downloaded at disparition.info for free. The sports for this episode was Witchka by S.J. Tucker. You can find out more about S.J.'s music at music.sjtucker.com. We hope you've enjoyed our trip through the weird ways of telling stories this year.
For today's proverb, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A tiger in the hand will probably eat you.